friends. This is Carolyn Evers of The Messenger, and I am just delighted to bring a remarkable person to you. She's a friend of mine and has written an extraordinary book called Passionate Pinky and the Evolutionary Experiment. Carol, say hello to our guests and do me a favor. Give them the pronunciation of your last name and your website, if you would.
Certainly. Greetings, everybody. It's delightful to be with you all, and I'm looking forward to chatting about things with Carolyn, and we have a tendency to do that very well, so the time will probably go very quickly. So my full name is Carol Haywood Bobrowskis, and my website is at www.passionatepinky.com, which will give some information and some insights into the book and a chance to order the book. So, and right now there is a book launch special that you can get in on by ordering it now. So I think you will enjoy it and urge you to do that, and I look forward to talking more about it with Carolyn.
Well, first of all, Carol, I would like to thank you for presenting to the world such a beautiful book. And when I held it in my hands, it just expressed so well the artist side of you. Outside of the fact that Carol has had some remarkable things happen to her in the sense that her third eye opened, and that is what this book is about, her experiences as she went through this marvelous trip. But she's also a wonderful artist, and the book is just filled not only with pictures but with her personal artwork. And I wanted everyone to know that, Carol, that this isn't somebody that you hired to do this magnificent work in here, but something that you yourself did.
Right, right, yes. Well, that's one of my passions is the painting, and to do what I can to bring through the beauty that I see with the open third eye, and to share it, because it is a beautiful world, and it is bright and shiny, and it moves a lot, and so I've included that in the book to help paint that picture of what it is in the inner realms, and to evoke people to find their own ways to get to that inner realm and to open up that scenery for themselves in their own inner path. So that was my motivation in sharing it, and plus it's uplifting to experience the energy of those paintings.
And of course, the inner realm is exactly what we want to talk about. We're most excited about talking about that, inner world realm that is part of your realm. But before we get to that, Carol, tell me, why did you choose the name of the book, Passionate Pinky and the Evolutionary Experiment?
Okay, that describes Passionate Pinky is actually my Christ self. Pinky, when the Christ energy first came through, it was this very spiraling, bouncing, beautiful, bright pink, almost like a twister sort of energy, and it was just a very enthusiastic, beautiful exchange that started taking place between myself and the Christ energy immediately. And before I knew it was a Christ energy, I named it Pinky because it was just this bright and beautiful and lovely bouncing, spiraling energy that brought this incredible beauty into my life. And then when the avenues of communication started opening up, and I then realized and became aware that this was Christ energy, it felt like the name Pinky was too irreverent. It felt like it wasn't worshipful enough of the Christ energy. And Pinky immediately came through and said, no, 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 no. I like Pinky. That I like to be called Pinky. I want to be known as lighthearted and fun and loving in a way that we can interact. And so that's how the name Pinky stuck. And then the passionate part of it is how that energy is so passionate about compassion and so passionate about unconditional love. It's not a wimpy sort of energy. It's a very forceful love. It's an all-encompassing, no barrier.
Hello?
Yeah.
I heard a click. We'll continue. I don't know what's happening with that, but
if you can hear me, hello, can you hear me?
Your sentence.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I think what's going on is someone's phone line. Maybe someone got a handheld or something.
Are you saying something's wrong with our phone line?
Correct.
Well, I don't know. I'll pick up my other phone line.
It's okay. I think it's gone now. Look, it might have been temporary.
Because I don't have a handheld. I've got one that goes over the ear.
Yeah, it's probably temporary. No biggie.
Do you want me to pick up another phone?
We're good.
Okay. So, Carol, you were talking about this pink light. Are you there?
Carol?
Yeah, Carol.
Is she there?
I don't hear her.
Carol?
I think she must have been cut off.
Carol? Carol? I don't hear her.
I don't think she's there.
Is she there? Carol?
No, I think something happened.
We'll phone her back on the other line.
Okay.
Stay online. Okay, we're putting her on the other line.
Were you able to reach her?
We'll see. It's ringing.
Okay.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Oh, excellent. It's still ringing.
Maybe something interrupted with her phone service.
That could have been it.
I've got her cell phone number.
Okay, maybe we should try that. I've got it too. Okay, let's try her cell. Oops, nope, I don't have her cell.
425.
Okay.
531.
Right.
1749.
Okay. Message.
I don't know what happened.
I do. Well, we can try a residence one more time here.
Okay, and if not, I can go on.
Yeah, this is a part of live radio. This is what happens. It's beautiful. People
it's
are
okay.
used to it.
You know what?
What's
that? I can go on with some information, and then you can work on trying to reach her. How's that?
That can do it. We're phoning her landline now. It's still ringing. So I'll let it ring a couple more times, and then we'll just let you get on with the show.
She told me earlier they had cut her phone line.
Uh-oh.
And maybe there's a problem with that.
Yeah, could be. Okay, well, I'll let you get back to your wonderful audience, and I'll keep trying her periodically.
Okay, that sounds good.
Thank you.
Tell me when I'm ready to go back on.
You've been on. We are still on. Oh, yeah, the audience knows all about our shenanigans. there's a phone call. Maybe this might be a Carolyn, let's see.
Carol.
Carol's back. I will put her online with you immediately.
Are you there, Carol?
Yeah, I'm here.
So what'd you do? Take a little vacation from us?
Bear with me. I'll bring her on higher here. I'm just trying to increase her volume slowly.
Okay.
Because for some reason I had to readjust because I didn't know she was gone, so I readjusted all the levels.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Stay with me.
We are obviously still having trouble with the phone line.
You're going to have to start paying your telephone bills, dear.
Yeah, I know.
Can you hear each other okay?
Yeah.
Yes? Good?
Yeah, I can hear it.
Okay, we're letting you go.
All right.
You're on your own.
Thank you. Now, we stopped, and I kind of lost track where we stopped. You were describing what the Christ energy
looked
like.
Right, right. Yes, and how the Christ energy is a very enthusiastic, very bright and bouncy and spiraling energy, and how that became known to me as Pinky, and then the passion of the love and the unconditional love and the passion for compassion and this very strong, powerful energy that is part of this, the Christ energy that has re-entered the planet, and how it interacts with me is to my personal preferences, the way that Christ energy interacts with each individual and their own personal preferences. And so it became a very intimate relationship. And I am the evolutionary experiment. It, when my third eye started opening and it was triggered by the energies that came through of the harmonic convergence, at that point, I became a bit of an evolutionary experiment. It was evolutionary energies that triggered my DNA that then started a program to awaken my pineal gland, or it's also known as the third eye. So then my world became very colorful. I started interacting with beings in the next realm. It became... it opened up a whole new world to me, which became very experimental because there was no previous roadmap to follow, sort of. And so it did with the pineal gland, with the symptoms that came with that, the pineal juice dripping down my throat and the headaches and all that that came along with that awakening. It did very much feel like I was part of an experiment. So,
now, are you saying you just felt like this was an experiment, or are you saying that this is the first time that the Christ energy has come back in this type of force?
That is correct. This is the first time in this particular phase of the planet that's probably been about 5,000 years, according to my information, that this energy has come back with this force and integrated itself with the planet again. And there is an experimental aspect of that because it is so new, and because we are so new in receiving and integrating that energy, how it interacts with each individual is fairly experimental because it mm-hmm. is new.
Now, you mentioned this 5,000 years ago, is your information telling you that this Christ energy was here 5,000 years ago, but for whatever reason, there was a disconnect?
Yes.
And then
yes.
has come back?
Yes. That is it, and that it's part of a sort of master plan of cycles, that the energy ebbs and flows and has a progressive phase and a regressive phase. And during the regressive phase of evolution, a lot of the energies were cut off because it needed to be quiet, it needed to be slumbering, it needed to be asleep for a while. And that is why the energies were basically left, or we went into an orientation where we were not accessing that energy. And now, as this new cycle is starting in and we're getting into the progressive phase, then our orientation on the planet is such that we are reaccessing that energy, and that it is, I was an early bloomer with accessing it, but it is becoming available to everybody, and that all you have to do is turn within and find that connection, and it will come flowing through.
Now, when this connection comes flowing through, is it fair to say that the person's pineal gland will open also, or is that reserved?
I believe so. I believe that everybody who stays with the planet during this rising up phase of evolution, that the energies will trigger an awakening of the third eye for everybody that stays with that process.
So in a sense, are you saying perhaps, or at least indicating perhaps, that maybe our DNA is going through an evolutionary change right now to accommodate this Christ energy?
Yes, that is correct. That there's actually updates
that are coming through the electromagnetic grid around the planet that is being monitored by very loving, intelligent beings and who are monitoring the feedback process of how the DNA is altered and adapted to the current conditions, and that, yes, we are going through an actual DNA update that will allow us to access the divine energies on a very regular basis.
Well, I am glad you said that because, Carol, I believe that we're going through a change in the DNA also. And can you, and I also feel that there are people out there right now who have had symptoms because of changes in the DNA. Can you give us some thoughts as to what an individual might be feeling, like the pains or the
sure.
byproducts of a DNA change?
Sure, yes. When those kinds of changes happen, they are very tangible. I mean, it's not an ethereal sort of thing. You go through some very physical adaptation to it. And usually one of the first indicators is going to be pressure in your head, because the pineal gland has in the regressive phase of evolution, has shrunk and atrophied, basically, to the size of about a pea. And so when these energies come through that do then trigger the awakening of this gland, it's gland and there's no room in there. And during the phase, the previous phase, when the third eye was active, our heads were much more flexible, and the sutures between the skull plates had flex to them. They were like elastic. And so when there were phases like with the full moon that brought in more third eye activity and things began to expand and the juices would come through, there was room for the head to flex. But because things have been so asleep, all of this has sort of closed down around the space. So one of the first things that happens is this kind of expansion. It's like things are waking up and knocking on the door and there's no room. So there's a process of hey, I gotta stretch and move and there's no room in here. So then the other thing is it'll start being stimulated by things like cosmic events and full moon and earthquakes and things where it'll cause an excretion of chemicals that the third eye is designed to be a chemical headquarters of the body. But when it's in the awakening process, these chemicals, your body's not used to it. So there'll be this pressure because the liquid is being excreted, and then those chemicals in your body will cause various and assorted symptoms. I've had a burning sensation down my throat and in my nose. I've had nausea. I've had diarrhea as these chemicals work through the body. They seem to go in cycles. A lot of times, your hormones are affected because there are the electromagnetic antenna of the pineal gland does also affect hormones. And so there's some hormone balancing that needs to happen as all of this starts to take place. Oftentimes the joints in your body ache a bit because of the chemicals that are new to it. And so what I learned was drinking water is a really good thing for your body in any case. But if you are going through any kind of awakening or, as they've been referred to, ascensional type symptoms, that water just is our saving grace. It will help to dilute the fluids that are there. It'll help to absorb the acidity so that that isn't as much of a problem. I found that times when I did have things dripping down my throat, if I ate something like breads or crackers that would help absorb the fluids, that helped. Kind of gentle, regular exercise helps to keep the stuff from building up in the joints. So there are things that can be done to help offset these symptoms as they come up. And knowing what's going on is also a very, very big help. Really? When you have these things going on and you go from doctor to doctor and they're all scratching their head going, we don't know, it really becomes very frustrating. But if you have a sense and you have a sense of connectivity where you start getting information that, what I'm going through is an evolutionary change, then you can relax about it and take care of yourself in a way that you're not worried about that there's something really drastically wrong happening. And that for me was a big thing when the information started coming through and I got confirmation and plus the vision started opening up and I started seeing things, then I knew that it was not something bad that needed to be fixed, but a process that I needed to accommodate.
Well, that's why I wanted you to talk about the symptoms, because I think there are people right now going through the beginning stages of these symptoms, and I wanted to put it out there so people could become aware of it, because they go to a doctor and they're going to get a prescription for maybe Valium or some sedative or something
right.
to relax themselves, and that's not going to help the situation at all.
That is true, and I found that the case when it started with me, that the doctor basically gave me an unlimited prescription for pain pills and said, go away, you know.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, they didn't know what else to do.
Exactly. I mean, they were, you know, just pretty clueless, as much clueless as I was, so. But
well,
yes, I
would like... Oh, I'm sorry, Carol. I didn't mean to
Say that I do agree that there is another wave coming through now that is really opening a lot of people up, that there is new energies that are very recent, even as recent as like the last solar eclipse in March, that had an element of that new energy that is geared or targeted towards opening the third eye. And so I am sensing and I'm getting feedback from several people that they're starting to have those symptoms come on, and I think that is part, very much a part of this ascension that is going on.
Yes, I would agree with you, and I thank you for going over that. Would you be kind enough, Carol, like when that first shaft of light I don't know if that would be hitting your third eye or hitting your DNA. Can you explain to us what it was like when those first rays hit you and you started opening up and seeing colors?
Yes, that was actually a very interesting. It was an interesting story in itself in that I had chosen to be at the Columbia River Gorge for the harmonic convergence. That was where my guidance kind of led me to. And we were going to camp right below the Stonehenge replica that's in Maryhill, Washington, and it was so windy that it broke the pole tent, and we ended up going nearby to a hotel for the night, and the timing that I had checked for sunrise, we had checked for in the Seattle sunrise, and so eastern Washington is quite a bit further east, and it was sunrise was a few minutes earlier. So I was actually driving on my way to the Stonehenge replica when the first ray came up over the edge of the cliff and hit. And as I've described in the book, it was like a lightsaber just went from the top of my head through my body in like a flash. It was like a lightning flash, just right through. And so here I was driving, trying to maintain myself and stay on the road, having had this light flash just go through me, and I was really struggling and working to keep it on the road, and had just a little bit further to go, and managed to get parked, and then went and sat on a rock and closed my eyes, and at that point it was like these incredible colors. It was the pinks, the greens, and yellow, and they would come around me and swirl around me, and there were patterns in them, and it just was magnificent. It was a whole new world just blasted open to me right when I sat down. I was there in that state without like moving, just being totally engulfed in these new beautiful energies for about 3.5 hours. when I came out of it, the friend that I had come with, everybody was gone. Everybody was, you know, there were like two cars left, and my friend is like, whoa, you were there a long time. It felt like I'd been like a half an hour because it was so engaging and so fabulous, and here it had been like 3.5 hours, and I was totally clueless. But it was a very dramatic opening. And that, to me, was the wave of energy that came with that first beam of light was what I equate with the crest of the wave of the harmonic convergence. That the energies that had originally started with the beginning waves of that, those first, you know, like a wave starts out small and then gets to the crest. The beginnings of that wave had actually come through a few years earlier and had started the process. It had started the DNA alteration and had started the process. So when the crest of the wave hit, the whole system was then ready to activate. And it came as a sudden activation. But it had actually been prepped for a few years before that.
Sort of like beam me up, Scotty, huh?
Yes. That's very good.
As you have worked with these energies over the years, it seems to me that you've identified certain colors that are associated with the Earth and certain colors that are associated with the cosmic energies and how there is an interplay between the two. Do you care to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, sure. There's definitely, there's always a balance maintained in the presentation sort of the color palette. And so Earth is very green, and all shades of green. And the Mother Earth energy that comes through to me is a very, like the green grass of a park on a sunny day, that vibrant green growth. Beautiful light energy. And the complement to that, which I see often in the balance, is the bright pink, which represents unconditional love, Christ energy, many things that the pink it's the caring, it's the compassion, it's the unconditional love, and it's also the color of the Christ light. And so that is the complement to the Earth green. And those two together really resonate. They have a vibration. Then there is also a green blue that is part of, you know, associated with the waters of Earth, and those are contrasted by a purple in the cosmic energy. The purple to me represents kind of the father energy. It's the overseer. Oftentimes I connect with the father energy, and there's this sense of sort of almost crawling up on Papa's lap and being enfolded and loved and protected under the father's wing. And that energy then is contrasted with the kind of turquoise blue-green of the waters of Earth. And then there's the also the very bright golden yellow energy that is a source color to me. It's like kind of like sun. It's like Earth's source, and that is also a very cosmic color having to do with providing for our life force. And that to me is offset by almost an indigo. Blue. It's like a very dark, but it's to offset in balance that very bright yellow, radiant color.
Now, do you find that these colors are more playful or more interacting with one another at certain times? I'm thinking particularly of things like, you know, eclipse or full moon. Do you find that, in your observation, have you seen this to be the case?
Very much so, that these energies are very influenced by the activities of the cosmos, and that there are various events and there's times of rest and there's times of celebration. There's times of work, of really getting things done. There's been a lot of activity lately in the electromagnetic field, where I'll tune in and see just all kinds of like work going on. They're unplugging from there and plugging in here and taking this apart over there and building something new over here, and the whole thing of a very active time is going on right now. But other times it's very restful and peaceful and without much movement. But definitely full moon often feels like a electrical freeway going through my forehead.
Would you say that at those times you're more intuitive?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yes. That it feels like the connection to the source and spirit is more present, more accessible, because it is a sort of a higher volume, so you can kind of hear it better.
Well, there's a lot of, historically, there have been a lot of secret societies that had meetings at night during the full moon, and I always felt that that was the reason, that it was a time of intuition was keener, and they could have an easier time of getting information.
Yes, so, I would agree with that.
Yeah. So I was just checking, you know, how you felt about that. Now, when there is a particular busy time between these cosmic energies and between the Earth energies, and they've gone through, you might almost say, a work session, have you been able to notice any changes in the Earth? In other words, they've gone through a busy activity, and has this affected our planet in some fashion?
I believe it has. It's oftentimes subtle at first, because of the way things are happening, that things are being done in a way that can be integrated without major disturbance. And so some of the changes that occur during those times are not noticed by most people immediately, but they are something that is putting a change in motion that will become obvious at some point in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
And that the activity that is going on, most of it right now has to do with the dismantling of old structures that have been in place during this backwards phase of evolution that no longer service and are basically in the way of the new energies that are very free-flowing and in the moment, with and that cannot work through the old structures that are in the way. So right now, there is most of the activity has to do with getting the old out of the way and bringing in the new free-flowing that you can only access when you're in the moment, which to me is very interesting. dismantling that whole need for structure and patterns and the way things have worked before, and bringing in new energies that we can only access when we're in the moment without those patterns.
Well, it brings up a question in my mind, Carol. I find this very fascinating. Since you can see, have been able to see energy patterns, are you able to see the energy of negative forces? And what I mean by the negative is things like, you know, if there's a part of the world that is in war or hate or things of that sort, do you see this played out in the energetic level of the planet?
Oh, absolutely. And the more the new energies are coming through, the more the old energies and the darker negative energies are grabbing on out of panic. There is a sense, there is a knowledge that things are changing and that we are getting to a higher vibration and that there is an ascension process that's taking place. And so the energies that have been invested in keeping things the same are really pulling out all the stops and grabbing on with all they've got to keep this change from happening. Well, there's no way that it can be held back. However, they're going to try with everything they've got. So there is these things that are happening right now that are coming up that are turmoil and war and greed and egos clashing is all part of what has to come up to be so that Earth can get beyond it and get beyond its grasp. Because it has a grasp and it's trying like crazy to just grab on and just, no, I don't want to change it. I've got too much invested in this old stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's happening and it's going to be beyond the grasp before too much longer.
Well, this is where I was going with that question because of all the negativity in the world. I wanted to know the how shall we say, the dance between these two forces, because the new energies coming in have to be of a higher vibration and ultimately are going to overcome this negativity. And you're telling me that you're actually seeing that, which is so fascinating. Because we're told from spirit that they see this here in the earth, the negativity and what it looks like. So
right.
That's a very promising thought to us to know that.
Yes, that's really my motivation in getting my book out there, is that it has the message that all this is going on is part of an evolutionary process. It's part of a cycle. Yes, it is end times, but it is also the beginning of the new time. So that these end times are playing out exactly the way it was predicted and prophesied by many of the various religions and prophets of our time, that we are in the end times, but we are also in the beginning of the new time. So it's the end of the world as we know it, but it is the beginning of a new world of beauty and light and love and harmony and peace that is what we are all looking forward to. And my guides have been urging me to keep the focus on the good stuff. Keep your eye on the prize, because there's nothing we can do about fixing the negativity that is all coming up, because it's coming up to leave the planet. So we don't need to invest our energy in fixing that negativity. It's already in motion to leave. So what we can do with our energy is to see the new world, to be there, to be the love, to be the peace, and to usher it in from that positive instead of flooding the negative with our concern.
Do you mean the negative forces are this negativity is leaving, or do you mean that it is going to be transmuted?
Well, I think some of both, actually. There is an element of the way it's been explained to me that as Earth rises up, that there is a separation or sort of a tear that is happening between the upper energies and the lower energies, and at some point there will be sort of a cutting off where when you have an upper and a lower that separate from each other, at some point they separate. And so there will be a cutting off where the lower energies will then go to a place that can tolerate the continuance of their lessons at that lower level.
Mm-hmm.
And so that there is an element that actually will leave as the planet rises up.
Mm-hmm.
There is also an element of, with the light energy that's coming in, when some of those darker energies get exposed to the light, they will simply be transmuted and become light.
Mm-hmm.
So I see it as kind of a twofold. Both of those mechanisms are in place.
Are you describing what some have called the tearing or the splitting of the dimensions?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's the same thing, it's just we're using different terminology.
Right, yes. Mm-hmm. And I tend to describe things from, like, describing a picture, you know, because
right.
That's the way it comes to me, is I see these scenes, and
mm-hmm.
So when I talk about it, I'm like painting a picture, describing, filling in
right.
What I'm seeing, where other people get it as knowledge, would use different words, bringing through information. Where mine is more a description.
Ah, that's great, because this is how my sources explain it, and you now have have explained the difference between receiving knowledge or words and actually seeing it and viewing it as energy. I think that's a very fascinating intuitive point. You talk about something really, I think, fascinating, is the change of the colors of the rainbow. Do you? I think this is an interesting thing to discuss.
Yes, I love that one. Yes. Well, that was one of the things that really confirmed for me that something really dramatic happened on the planet and not just to me during the harmonic convergence, because so much of the hype, you know, that occurred around the harmonic convergence is like, you know, this is going to be a big event, and there was all this activity and lots of people bringing in information, and the Hopi calendar and the Mayan calendar that were all pointing to this as a very big event. And then to many in the world, nothing happened. and yet to me, it was, of course, a huge, major event. It was a life-changing event, and so the perspective of nothing happened seems rather ludicrous. But on the level of that things actually did happen on the planet, when shortly after the harmonic convergence, I went for a little bit of a retreat, and I took with me my quartz crystal that is a very beloved friend. And when I went on this retreat, I started looking at this crystal, and I was very familiar with it because I've had it with me and have studied it and communed with it. And it gets wonderful prisms with the sunlight shining on it. And after the harmonic convergence, and I was on my little retreat, I was looking at this prism, and there was a pink bar that was present. It was like the green color bar in the prism had split, and there was a pink bar in the middle of it. And that was something that was not there prior to the harmonic convergence. And so I was just so excited. I was actually ready to have a press conference to announce this development. And see, something did happen at the harmonic convergence. But of course, I found out very quickly that the press was not particularly interested in my event. And it became just kind of a quiet secret that was passed among those who were open-minded and willing to hear it and listen. And what I found then, when I did see a rainbow, that this same pink bar that had been had shown up in the crystal was also in the rainbow. And I was totally just thrilled, because to me, it was the confirmation that the Christ light, the pink unconditional love, had returned to the planet, and the green, which is the earth energy, opened up its energy field to receive the pink and then close back in around it. And that was what actually occurred on an energetic level during the harmonic convergence, and that this new pink in the rainbow is our sign, again, a promise of the returned love and the transition and the ascension that began when that pink returned.
Well, Carol, I have to say, I haven't seen a rainbow since I've been reading your book. I'm just going to have to check this. Is that pink bar still in the rainbow?
It still is. It very much is. And I just had a wonderful rainbow just the other day. I had come home, and it was one of those days where the weather was very changeable and raining one minute and sunny the next. And came home and came up my stairs upstairs, and there's a big window and just this huge, big rainbow. I just went, and very, very present is the pink in its. It's mostly visible sort of at the top of the arch, but it's very present to, it doesn't take special vision to see it. That there's definitely a pink in the middle of the green stripes of the rainbow. And like I mentioned it in my book, and I have photographs in my book, and you can look up even photographs online of rainbows and see the pink in them. So,
well,
it
I
is,
think that's
it is visible. Yeah, and that to me is one of the, it's a beautiful story of how we are loved and we are given these signs that that the forces are with us and very present among us. Yes, yes.
For those out there who are listening to Carol and might want to present her with a question, I would like to mention that we have a new call-in telephone number, 1-877-876-5227, if someone wants to speak personally with Carol and ask her a question. And while we're taking a little break here, Carol, why don't you give us your website again, because I really do recommend your book to all of those who are listening and will hear later the replay. It positively is a beautiful book.
Yeah, thank you. And yes, and the book is available at my website. And also on my website, I have an email. Anybody, you know, even after the show, has any questions or wants to chat about things, that I'm very present with my email. So, but the website is www.passionatepinky.com. So it's pretty easy to remember, and I would love to hear from anybody.
You, there's just so much in this book to talk about.
Yeah.
There's tons to discuss. One of the things that that I is of great interest to me is you were talking about the Earth astrological annual cycle brings Sirius into alignment, and
mm-hmm.
about how it transfers the signals to those who are hooked up to the electromagnetic network. Can you give us some thoughts on this, because I do believe that those on that planet are helping to monitor our spiritual evolution here on this planet. What would you say about that?
Definitely. Sirius was set up very early on in Earth's history as a monitor of not only our spiritual evolution, but also our physical evolution, and that there is a feedback loop that does create a way that the DNA can receive the modifications in Sirius, where they basically program the alterations into the DNA, and then during what's been come known as dog days, which is somewhere around June 23rd through September 17th, something, I don't remember the exact date, so somewhere in there is considered dog days, and that is when the planet dog star Sirius is most in alignment with Earth. And so there is access to this feedback system where they start getting signals from Earth, and then they start making changes to the DNA to feed back into that feedback system. And so those of us who are open and attuning to these higher energies, that is how we get our evolutionary updates, is through that process. And that the beings on Sirius are very much connected to Earth, and that is sort of their assignment, is to monitor and to make the adjustments necessary for our evolutionary process.
Well, in this process, would it be important for us humans to be more attuned to being open? In other words, trying to cooperate and be open to this energy? Would that
yes, I believe that, I believe that that does help. That any time that you are spending time in, well, what's called meditation, but it, to me it's just it's tuning in. In whatever activity, it's like I feel like I'm in a meditative state when I'm dancing. I'm connecting with energies. I'm letting go. I feel like there is an opening in me that allows access to these higher energies and the mechanisms that are being used to reach my electromagnetic system and make these adjustments. And so I feel that whenever I can do to stay tuned in, to keep my vibration high, to concentrate on my life being a higher vibration by being loving, and also physical things like eating well and drinking lots of water and getting exercise that keeps the vibration up so that these higher energies then can reach us. And so it is a cooperative type thing, and I think by collaboration we can get a lot more out of the process than just sort of being a clueless bystander.
Well, you talked about diet. Would you say that meat eating or eating meat or being a vegetarian has an effect on this?
There is an element of the vibration of food, so that the fresher the food, the higher vibration it has. And I recently attended a kind of a health nutrition course, and the way the presenter told us of this information, it really made an impact on me, in that he was saying that our bodies are constantly regenerating themselves. Like, your liver is one of the most regenerative organs in your body, and it is constantly replacing itself. Everything in your body is constantly replacing itself. Your body gets the building blocks for what it is replacing it with from the food you eat. So
yes,
when you are eating and you think, keep that in mind, is this what I want my liver made out of? It's sort of a good reminder to say, okay, I think I want my body to be rebuilt out of good, high vibrational, fresh food. And that, yes, there is an element of meat eating that is a heavier vibration. And that when you do, if you do eat meat, to raise its vibration with energy work. So I'm not really one for definitely rules around food and diet, but to definitely use a guideline of vibration. Is it of a high vibration? The fresher it is, the higher vibration it is, and the more energy your body will get out of it.
Well, something that you said that I'm tuning into, did I hear this right, that if you're going to eat meat, to do some energy work on it first before you consume
yes.
it? Okay, and how would you do that?
What I do is just ask it to be open and to bring energy, light, and love through, that then infuses these molecules of food with the higher vibration, and so it basically lifts it up. And that's basically what, you know, through years we've been blessing our food, and that's basically the same thing. It is bringing the vibration up as it comes into your body and you eat this food, that it will give you life force, and that the life force will be present in that food and lift you up. And it doesn't have to be a negative, bringing down sort of experience.
Carol, this time has just slipped away so quickly, and we have hardly scratched the surface. And I did have one more question, but before we got to that question, is it possible that you could come back and talk about this some more? Because, like I said, we've hardly scratched the surface.
Yes, I know. We could go on, and I would be delighted to come back.
Okay, so. Now I do have a final thought, and the Earth is a living organism, and it breathes energy, taking energy in certain sacred spots and expelling it. Can you give us some discussion or some a description of how you see this energy going in the Earth and coming out of the Earth?
Yes, very much so. And Earth is very much a living organism, and that's why sometimes when you hear people say, oh, we're going to save the planet, you know, I'm like, no, she's going to save herself. She knows very well what needs to be done, and she is doing it. And so the breathing process of bringing in the new light energies and then releasing the off-gassing, basically, of the lower energies is very much a part of the process of what she is doing to rejuvenate herself and to bring her frequency up and to reconnect with higher sources that are feeding her and to make a stronger connection with sun. And as she does that and as more sun comes in, she brings it in with a deep breath into the various avenues that she has opened. And as that comes in, it does transmute the old, and whatever then waste is transmuted and brought around and recycled into new light and new forms.
Well, that's a beautiful answer, Carol, but what I was kind of stretching for, if you don't mind me leading you a little bit.
Not at all.
Mention one of the sacred sites where you have actually seen this energy leave.
Oh, yes. Okay.
You know what I'm going after, dear.
Yes, right. Okay. Are you talking about Glastonbury?
Well, I really was thinking about, Glastonbury is a beautiful place, but I was really thinking about the cathedral at,
Oh, it's Salisbury.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
The
yes,
next
yes,
time we'll
definitely.
Talk about Glastonbury, because that's a long story and we need to get off the air.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, right. Yes. Yes, definitely. The Salisbury, the cathedral that was built on a major node of where earth energies come in and go out. And when we were there, we could see, and it didn't take any special vision. We all thought we were at night.
I've seen, it was gorgeous.
Oh, it was fabulous. It was the steeple. There was like a pinwheel of energy that was spinning around, coming out the top of the steeple. That was absolutely stunning. It was this node where the energy comes up, where they enhanced it through sacred geometry in the placement of the cathedral and all the special symbols and the architecture, especially these arches that funneled this energy up and then came to a point out that steeple and just was broadcast from this steeple in a way that we could all very tangibly see it.
And then I think you would agree that it's fair enough to say that some of the Gothic cathedrals were built over spots that were responsible for the intake of this energy.
Right. That there are spots on the earth that are basically just for input. There are other spots that were marked with either stone circles or cathedrals that where the energy is coming out, and then there are some where it's both. So, but definitely indicated that there was a time when people could very tangibly see and feel these energies and knew how to work with them, knew how to use the sacred geometries to enhance them and to harvest them. And that we are reawakening to that now so that we have these tools for using this energy.
Well, my darling, instead of saying goodbye, how about if I say to be continued?
Absolutely. That sounds good to me.
And my dear friends, I had some messages to bring forth from Mother Mary and some of the statues that are weeping. Where there is blood leaving the eyes of the statues of the Mother Mary. And we'll talk about that and her message next week. And so to everyone, Carol and I both wish you much love and grace and face the new day with enthusiasm. Goodbye,
absolutely.
Everyone.
Peace and love.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.